BBC.
Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1 free downloads. Download them all for free at the Radio 1 website.
Here is Christmas Eve Eve's podcast. It's the Scott Mills Daily. People go crazy in supermarkets before we even start the show. If you missed it, our YouTube singing teacher, Felicia, teaches us how to sing a Christmas classic. Rixton interviewed Robert Downey Jr. from earlier in the year. I take you through all of the 1D merchandise available this Christmas and another rubbish but great Christmas film recommendation.
Scott Mills,
BBC Radio 1.
Two more sleeps. This is the Radio 1 Breakfast Show. It's Tuesday morning, Christmas Eve Eve. Hello, Christopher.
Are we that close? Christmas Eve Eve? It's today, is it?
What part of Christmas are you not understanding? It's the 23rd.
I think it's just always ages away, which doesn't bode well for shopping.
No. When are we going?
We're going tonight or tomorrow. I'm quite keen to do it Christmas Eve just because that's the tradition.
And also, you're not very well today, are you?
I'm all right.
What's up? Right.
I just need to man up a little bit.
Right. I spoke to one of my friends yesterday who is saying that their mum was getting up at 5 o'clock this morning to go food shopping. And I reckon there are loads of people, mostly mums, right now, who are like, right, beat the rush, and are now in a supermarket. What is wrong with you?
Really? Why are they doing that then?
Food shopping, like the big food shop for Christmas. I bet you loads of people will text in now and they'll be already like on their way back from or on the way to a supermarket to do food shopping because their mum is dragging them there.
Is this like Black Friday? Are there going to be riots over turkey?
It's worse. In my local supermarket yesterday, there were actual people in hi-vis directing your car where to go. Dan has just been to his local shop that rhymes with Wazda for his coffee like he does every day, and it's just chaos. This now.
I really wasn't aware that this was a thing.
He says he's never seen it so busy. It's like they're going to be shut for a week. Like, well, I did it yesterday, right? And
You didn't do a big Christmas shop.
Yeah,
I did. You don't cook Christmas dinner.
No, but I've got family coming around, so I do need to get stuff.
I'd be so good if you gave it a go. Turkey in a bag?
No, I can't.
Everything's in a bag with you.
I do chicken in a bag, salmon in a bag. It's just easy.
It's the only thing you can cook.
You can. It's really easy. You just get them from the supermarket. It's those little bags. They're called, I can't say the brand name.
No, but it's a food in a bag. It's as simple as it gets.
Well, it's just a bit of, what is it? It's just like, it's like seasoned salt or something, or just like mixture in a bag. Bung the chicken in there, whop your bag in the oven, bosh, 40 minutes later, delicious, moist chicken.
So there was a time not too long ago that I suggested, as a show, to be more efficient with lunches, because obviously we're on normally at lunchtime, that we could do a sort of come dine with me-esque thing. So I will make some lunch, say on Monday, for the whole team, Scott on Tuesday, producer Will would do it on the Wednesday, and go on like that. So that way you save a bit of money on lunches. Now, I was keen on this, producer Will was keen on this, but you weren't keen on this.
Well, no, because you'll just get chicken in a bag every week.
But you did give it a go, and it was chicken in a bag and rice. And
yeah.
To be fair to you, it was nice.
It is nice, but it's quite limited options. Anyway, so I went to get some food yesterday. Bearing in mind, these shops are all open again on Boxing Day. It's like they're going to be shut for 2 weeks.
Mm.
People are, like, panic buying. Hey, our David's just been to the shop with his mum. It's 6:43, David.
Oh,
what are you doing with your life?
There's no need for that. There's no need for that.
Cressy's been on. Just had her work's Christmas party. Got to go to work today. It's her last day, but she has had 1 hour's sleep.
you know, with the shopping thing, there was a while ago that... Did they ban you from wearing pyjamas in supermarkets?
That happened in one of the supermarkets, yeah. Because you do see people in pyjamas in supermarkets.
But why would they ban that?
Because it's just a bit... Like, put some clothes on. It's not hard.
There shouldn't be a dress code to go to the shop, should there?
No, but not pyjamas.
No?
And I don't want to see you in your pyjamas in a shop.
Do you know what? I don't really wear pyjamas.
Or a onesie.
Okay.
In a shop, I don't agree. Okay, also another thing that I don't agree with, you've really just reminded me of something now. People eating food on the way round when they haven't paid for it. I was seeing that a lot yesterday as well.
You're the kind of person that would call them out on it as well.
I
have you paid for that?
Right, they'd just been to the deli counter and bought like two of the from a hot chicken counter, two chicken kebabs. Were eating them on the way round. You haven't paid for them yet. Remember when we got to the checkout? I think that's awful, don't you? Don't open a bag of crisps on the way round.
Yeah, but I pay for it at the end.
No, but I don't agree with it. You haven't paid for it. Don't eat it.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
Oh, OK. People are like, well, you don't pay for food before you eat it in a restaurant.
It's a good
Not
point.
Not the same.
It's a good point.
You're in a supermarket. Haven't paid for it. Don't eat it.
I mean, you see kids do it every now and then. I must have done this at some point in my life, but right. I imagine it would feel quite awkward.
There's like, it's people with bags of crisps, like multi-packs of crisps, and their kids all eating them.
Not keen.
No.
I love the idea that that would annoy you.
I don't know why it annoys me so much. Someone says, thanks, Mills, I work in a supermarket, and what you're describing with people eating food on their way round are the things that really get me.
The thing is, when you're really hungry and you eat something, you're happy to pay for it beforehand because it will solve that problem of being hungry. Mm. But once you've eaten it, you're not really hungry anymore. It's a terrible thing to say, but you don't really feel like paying for it. Obviously you do. No, but obviously you do. Obviously you do. I'm just saying.
It's in my belly now, so why should I pay?
No,
you're the kind of person that I really don't like today. Anyway, it's Christmas.
Merry Christmas, mate.
When are we going Christmas shopping tomorrow?
We're either going to do it tomorrow or after the show today.
Okay.
My worry being if I leave it to tomorrow, you'll cancel on me and then I'm on my own.
Yeah, you don't want that.
No.
That's a bad place to be. Oh, Rachel's been on. Her mum has just gone to the shops because, and I quote, I'm scared the turkeys will run out.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1, hello.
Hello.
Hello, who's this?
It's Luke.
Luke, what's going on?
Just left my house, and before leaving, I seen mum get up stupid o'clock at 6 in the morning to go food shopping at Mazda's for Christmas.
Oh my god!
Why is she so keen? Why is everyone getting up so early for this today? Why is this
a thing? I don't know. She got a party yesterday to go to do some shopping, but he didn't really get much. It's a typical man thing, I suppose. And she's gone to finish it off.
She's thinking, oh, it's going to be busy soon, so I'll go at 5 o'clock.
Yeah, just get up really early and go. But she usually gets up about 8 o'clock for work, and she's got up 2 hours early.
Yeah, people are going before they go to work.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, that's stupid, isn't it?
Becky's been on saying, having worked in a large supermarket last Christmas, all turkeys had sold out by Christmas Eve. Let's not get people panic buying. I don't want people fighting.
There's a rush on.
Sarah says it's like the Hunger Games already in her supermarket where she lives. People actually hitting each other over the head with leeks. That's not true. But they are fighting over vegetables. Do you know what I could bosh right now?
Go on.
Think about it. A 5-bird roast.
Oh, lush.
I keep seeing the adverts. A bird in a bird in a bird in a bird in a bird. All the meats.
The Scott Mills Daily.
BBC Radio 1.
Did you see Bublé's Christmas special on Channel 5?
No, I didn't see it.
I love it. I love it so much.
You went along one year, didn't you?
I went to the one, I think 2 years ago, where he did one for ITV, and we were all told to dress up in Christmas jumpers, but it was boiling, and at the end of September. And it was up in North London in Elstree, where they do Strictly. And it was really hot. And I remember Niall Horan was there. And I think Greg James as well. But we're all sweltering hot because we're wearing these Christmas jumpers. And we get led into the studio. And it's like Michael Bublé's Christmas log cabin.
Nice.
It's amazing. But the one they had on the other night was, I think, in New York. His kind of Christmas special. He must do well at Christmas.
Do you think he gets sick of Christmas?
Yeah, I do, actually.
Although all the monies.
Yeah. And also, what he does is he just re-releases his Christmas album every single year. Sometimes there's like a bonus track on it, but generally it's the same album.
Do you think he's going to run out of songs to cover? Because there'll come a point where Michael Bublé's done every Christmas song.
I think he may have already run out.
Really?
Yeah. But he does bring it every Christmas.
Great shout from Kenny on Twitter saying Michael Bublé needs to cover Wrap Myself in Paper.
Or Feliz Navidad.
Or Feliz Navidad. I mean, that would be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Good morning, it's Radio 1, it's 7:15. Coming up, Calvin Harris and Ellie Goulding. Also, Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree. And Ella Henderson and Imagine Dragons. Loads of people have already been in touch saying that their mums have dragged them to food shopping at well, 5 a.m. this morning. There are queues of people. It's like the Hunger Games out there. People are fighting over vegetables and turkeys. In the world of celebrities, they're mostly home for Christmas right now. Taylor Swift's on Instagram with her cats. Ashton Irwin is on Instagram. He's home for Christmas. Just put a picture of his dog. Fern's in bed with a cat, I noticed last night.
I saw that one, yes.
First thing I thought, I didn't even look at the cat. I thought, ooh, expensive bedding.
You do find yourself looking into the background of all of these pictures.
Because you do get to see what a lot of celebrities' beds look like, don't you?
Nice.
Like, they're all just woken up, full face of makeup. You haven't just woken up. Mm. Like, your hair's been done. But, yeah, nice bedding, Fern. Also, getting in the mood for Christmas is Millie McIntosh, who I find on Twitter and Instagram is either posting pictures of food or her working out. Like, she's either eating, like, ridiculous amounts of food or in the gym burning it off.
Do you reckon she's in the queue for a turkey today?
No.
No?
So, yesterday she was lifting weights and doing abs, but then later on she posts a picture of herself buying a massive bag of really stinky cheese. And Dougie and Ellie, do you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, Busted.
And Goulding.
And Goulding.
Who are now
right
on. They seem to be, if anyone knows, look at their Instagram, because they're both in the same place.
They've joined Instagram?
No.
Do celebrity couples do that?
No. But they seem to be together, obviously, because they're a couple. But they look to be in some kind of, like, magical winter Christmas cabin. And I wonder if anyone knows, like, where it is. Someone must have been there. It might be a hotel, but it looks incredible. Look on Ellie Goulding's Instagram right now. They are having a good Christmas. All right, let's play Calvin and Ellie Goulding and Outside on BBC Radio 1. Ooh. See what I mean?
Very, very nice.
It's very Christmassy. The Scott Mills Daily. Okay, so I think we've narrowed down where Ellie Goulding and Dougie are staying. Stephanie says they're in Edinburgh. Not sure what hotel, but definitely Edinburgh because I saw them. Oh, no, sorry. My friend saw them at the German Christmas market in Edinburgh yesterday. Interesting.
Classic Dougie there.
Yeah.
Dougie Goulding. Yes.
No.
Is he?
Yes.
Does he strike you as a romantic guy?
Absolutely, yes.
Like a bit of a melt at Christmas?
Yeah, absolutely. He would treat you well. Yeah, he's a good lad. Do you agree with me, Fiona? You know what I mean, don't you?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
The Ellie Goulding Instagram would suggest he is a bit of a melt at Christmas.
Oh, he just loves her. I love their relationship. I think it's really sweet. It's 7:22. Yours by Ella Henderson is coming up. What was that?
Yours. I mean, thing is, we're only 2 days into this little breakfast cover thing. I find myself doing weird things. Do you know what I did yesterday?
Go.
I tried to climb a tree on the way home.
What are you on
and
about?
And I think it's because it, like, slightly overtired.
Why?
Saw this tree, thought I could climb that, and then thought to myself, do you know what? You haven't done that for a while. Give it a go. But that's a bit weird, isn't
and
it?
And what happened?
I tried to make first branch, then realised it was weird and should maybe stop.
Okay, right. So you were on your way home and you thought, I could climb that tree, and so you decided to try give it a go.
I don't know. I know this sounds weird,
okay,
but
then.
I just thought to myself, look, there it is. Let's do this. Went for it.
Also, I've got confirmed reports that it is a hotel in Edinburgh. We can't say which one, but somebody who works at the hotel says that they are there.
No way.
That didn't take long, did it? That took about 5 minutes to find out where Ellie Goulding was staying from her lush Instagram pictures. Let's not say any more because they probably need a like break. So, later on, just after 8, we're going to replay what happened when Rixton interviewed Robert Downey Jr. from our show earlier in the year. What had happened on our show was we double-booked guests. We didn't realise... No, I think Rixton were booked in for ages, and then suddenly we got a last minute with Robert Downey Jr., and we just thought, well, why don't we just put them both together? It's a kind of weird idea. They were in absolute awe of him, and it worked. Rixton interviewing Robert Downey Jr. just after 8. I see on their Instagram they've just met Kanye West, by the way.
They are living the life.
Living it. Real or No Real is just after 9:10 today. 9:10 for Real or No Real. And in the next half hour, just after 7:30, I'm going to give you another recommendation of a quite rubbish Christmas film to watch tonight.
I couldn't get hold of yesterday's one, Mills. The NSYNC one, the one with the NSYNC theme.
I'll Be Home for Christmas.
Yeah, but I had loads of messages from people on Twitter saying that they were watching it.
Yeah.
And apparently it's good. It's actually a good one. It's not just a whiffy Christmas film.
It's good.
Mm.
I mean, it's better than the ones on Christmas 24, but, like, not as good as Elf. It's kind of halfway in between. They've thrown some money at it.
Right.
I've got another great one which I watched last night, which I'll tell you about after 7:30. I want you all to watch it today.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Earlier we were saying, is there any Christmas song that Michael Bublé hasn't covered? Loads of people have been on saying he's already done Feliz Navidad on his Christmas Deluxe Special Edition.
Of course,
that was
he
like
has.
On the fifth release of the same album. You know, I was talking about that film from 1998 yesterday, and I recommended everyone go and watch it. I'll Be Home for Christmas, starring Jessica Biel off of Justin Timberlake. Can we just have a little reprise of the NSYNC track from the end of the film as the credits roll? Mm,
it was very 90s. Yeah,
Christmas time! Christmas time. Merry Christmas! Ooh, yeah.
Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas!
Happy
Sing it, everybody!
Merry Christmas!
Come on!
Merry Christmas!
Let me hear you!
Merry Christmas!
And happy holidays!
It's a wonderful feeling.
This is BBC Radio 1 with Scott Mills. Okay, are you ready for my next Christmas film selection that we should all watch today? I might actually watch it again because I loved it that much last night. So yesterday, I told you that we should all watch I'll Be Home for Christmas, starring Jessica Biel, 1998 film. Today, it's 2007 film, Holiday in Handcuffs. Should I give you the plot?
Go on, Em.
Okay, so it stars Melissa Joan Hart and Mario Lopez. Mario Lopez off of Saved by the Bell. Melissa Joan Hart at Chill Sabrina. I mean, that enough should get you to watch it. So Sabrina, no, that's not her name. Melissa, who is Sabrina, plays a girl called Trudy. Now, she works in a restaurant. She gets dumped just before she goes home to her really annoying parents for Christmas. So she's like, oh no, I've told them that I'm bringing my boyfriend Nick around, but now he's just dumped me. He dumps her in the restaurant where she works. So as she leaves for the day, she kidnaps a random customer in the restaurant and then takes him home, tied up in the car, to her annoying parents.
That sounds rubbish.
To the log cabin. Now, her annoying parents are vacationing at an isolated log cabin miles away from anywhere. There is no phone signal. She drives him there and introduces him to her parents. He can't escape, even though he tries several times. He tries to also use her cell phone, but cell phones are banned. There's a lot of flip-top phones in this film, a lot of flip phones.
Right.
He eventually, of course, agrees to play along because it's Christmas until the police arrive. But then, I bet you can't guess what happens next. So he's there against his will. He's been kidnapped by this girl. He doesn't want to be there. He's trying to get out. He thinks she's a freak. What happens next?
Well, surely they fall in love, right?
Yes, they do.
Yep.
That's right. They both admit their feelings towards each other. And I won't go into the rest of it, but, like, there's a lot of stuff
these?
That I'm not going into here. But you'll need to watch it. It's on the one that rhymes with Wet Nicks.
Is it?
Yeah, it's on there.
I thought it might be a straight-to-DVD job.
Oh, I think it was at the time. I think it was on, like, one of those channels in America, like ABC Family. But you can get it on the one I just said. Morning, Kirsty.
Morning.
So you've seen Holiday in Handcuffs. What are your views?
Do you know, I loved it. It was perfect hangover watching for Sunday after fake Christmas with some friends. And it's got that bloke from Saved by the Bell in it.
Mario Lopez.
Yeah. After, you can't go wrong.
After what, sorry? Fake Christmas?
Yeah, we did a fake Christmas with some friends. Had a three-bird roast, had the lot, the works, it was good.
What do you mean, a bird and a bird and a bird?
Yeah, it was very exciting. Oh. We spent most of the day trying to figure out how that was possible.
Mm. I
and
don't think it's best not
bird.
To think about it too much, I think, as you tuck in.
Did you put your own bird in a bird in a bird?
No, sadly not. I wish we had, but no. That was down to a supermarket.
I think we're all missing something here, and that is that Sabrina the Teenage Witch is in this film.
Really?
Yes.
Do you know, I'm not going to lie, I've just watched the entire box set of Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Lol.
Okay.
Okay, that's... You've gone too far there.
I'm sorry.
Tell me, what's your favourite bit of Holiday in Handcuffs?
It has to be the incredibly cheesy ending, which I'm not going to give away, but it does seem very implausible about how that actually happened.
I know. And also, there are plot holes galore.
What does that mean?
Oh, my word, yes.
Oh, like, a lot of it doesn't make sense. It's like, well, hang on, that wouldn't have happened.
Nice.
It doesn't tie up, but it's still brilliant Christmas viewing.
So why are you liking it, then? I don't understand.
It's just a good one to put on. It's ultimate cheese. All right, thanks very much, Kirsty.
Thanks.
Speak to you in a bit. Bye.
Bye.
BBC Radio 1.
The Scott Mills Daily.
We're normally on 1 till 4 on Radio 1. If you can't listen live, get the podcast. Loads of good stuff. You've got to plug it, haven't you? And we had Rixton in for a chat. Obviously, they've had an incredible year, massive success in America, with Me and My Broken Heart, which we're going to play in a sec. We booked them in for about 2 months, and it was always going to be on this date. And then the day before this date, we got word that Robert Downey Jr. was in town and wanted to come to Radio 1. So I thought, two birds, one actual stone. Let's get Rixton to interview Robert Downey Jr. And this is what occurred.
Everybody calm down. We only got two-time Oscar nominee Robert Downey Jr. on the show today. Sherlock Holmes, Iron Man. And now you are being a big city defence attorney in your new film, The Judge. Good to see you.
Thank you, likewise.
Hello.
Hello.
Now, first up, Robert, I need to explain why there are six people interviewing you round a table today.
Yeah.
I'm Scott, this is Chris, who has recently been described as my comedy partner. Chris, Robert, Chris.
Robert.
You're blowing my mind already.
Why?
I can't stop laughing.
Okay. And these guys are chart-topping group Rixton.
Hello.
Who are, they're kind of co-hosting the show with us today.
What a privilege.
There's quite a lot of
it's
them.
It's an honour.
I feel like I'm witnessing history.
You possibly are.
They're like making it.
No, okay. One Direction could make it, so they've got us in. That's what.
Right, let's get to the film then. It's a big kind of contrast to all things Iron Man and the Avengers. You are a bit of a hotshot lawyer who returns to your hometown after your mother's death and ends up defending your judge father, who's Robert Duvall.
Yeah.
Who's being charged with murder. So it's kind of like a half homecoming story, half courtroom thriller. Do you still have to audition for things, or do they just come to you and they're like, no, you can skip that bit?
Excellent question. Well, when you're producing something and you cast yourself in it, it's a much quicker process.
That's the idea, like, isn't it?
It's like having your own label.
Yeah.
I wonder what our first act should be. Oh, us.
Yeah. I'm going to cast myself.
The character you play is kind of how I imagine you would be in real life. Because obviously it's like, as Scott said, like a stripped down version of Iron Man. Mm. Like you've still got that confidence. You've got the nice car in your drive. Mm. Is that character like you in real life?
Well, what I love about Hank is that he's someone who, at the beginning of the movie, is telling someone that he actually has a pretty good life and he sleeps pretty well at night. And then you realize that's not true. He's miserable. And he's miserable because of this this fractured relationship he has with his dad. So what I wanted to do was kind of set up an expectation that this is going to be something you're familiar with, me playing the kind of character you're familiar with, and over the course of three acts, just punch that idea in the stomach.
Yeah. A big part of the film is your kind of strained relationship with a parent, which I know obviously a lot of people will be able to relate to. What was your relationship with your father like growing up?
Well, I'm a child of the 60s, so it was a little groovier than all that. but, you know, a dad's a dad, and they cast a shadow, and it's something that, you know, for better or worse, you kind of hold your own sense of self up to. And it's funny, too, because it's not age-specific. You know, you can still feel like you turn into a five-year-old again around your dad when you're middle-aged. Mm-hmm. So there's obviously some sort of psychological twist there that I think is, you know, if you try to understand it rather than force it to understand you, you got a shot.
You've kind of worked with all the big actors, and obviously this time you're side by side with Robert Duvall. Is there anyone else that you haven't worked with yet that you would very much like to work with?
I don't know why I never know how to answer that. I always feel like you kind of run into the folks you're supposed to, you know? It's been really nice lately, obviously, because, you know, being in these kind of big box office entertainment things gives you a bit of leverage. But then it's like when someone says, great, so anything on the menu, what do you want? I'm like, burger? Yeah. You know?
Okay. Obviously, you were saying it's quite handy when you produce the film yourself. This is the first kind of Team Downey produced film. You're in it. Your wife is at the production helm. What's it like working with your other half so closely? Or is it a close thing? Or is she in another office? You never get to see
her? We haven't spoken in 3 years.
Right.
It's the best. She's a great gal, and she's really good at her job. And there's very few people that I respect enough to when they say, all right, what you're doing is ridiculous. Stop it. And I go like, yeah, why not? I was going to stop it anyway or whatever, you know.
And she's 8 months pregnant, is that right?
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Wicked.
Out of all of the characters that you have played over the years, which one do you think your new child would most like to meet?
I don't know. I mean, Sherlock's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I don't know if Sherlock would be a good babysitter.
Yeah. What do you think the first film of yours will be that you eventually show her when she's old enough to understand?
Well, you know, I have an almost 3-year-old, and I don't know why I'm such a company man. Like, we'll take baths and I'll put little Avengers there and I'll be like, which one's that? He's like, Nick Fury. I'm like, that's right. I go, is Nick in charge? He goes, I go, which one do you like? And I'm holding Iron Man in front of him and he goes, Hawkeye.
Right, well, we have Robert Downey Jr. on Radio 1. We're going to play a song, and then I'm going to hand over to the boys from Rixton for the next part.
Awesome.
Good luck, lads. Wow.
BBC Radio 1. The Scott Mills Daily.
This is BBC Radio 1. Robert Downey Jr. is here. Thank you for joining us today. These are the boys from Rixton, who you've already met.
Wow. Hello again.
So, yeah, go for it, boys.
Wow.
We can just jump in whenever, right?
Yeah, yeah, this could be very interesting.
It could be slightly... Well, just want to say it's a huge honour, by the way, to be here.
When did you find out that you were going to be...
Sorry, this is my section of the interview. So
No, I mean you. When did you find out you were going to be interviewing Robert Downey?
Last night, actually.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Yeah, and this is a first for us, so this is pretty wild. We're usually on that side. But this feels great. I just want to say, if it wasn't for you and Iron Man, our drummer wouldn't be in the band.
Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Because when we were auditioning for a drummer 6 years ago, we looked online, we saw this kid here from Manchester, and he was in an Iron Man outfit playing the drums. he was actually a terrible drummer, but it was the Iron Man outfit.
Oh my God, that couldn't be
so
easy.
Thank you.
You didn't program the suit.
He's just flying around.
Unfortunately, it wasn't as technologically advanced as yours, but...
I understand. You know. Well, you know, we're all on a budget.
We're not working on a big budget. Yeah.
That's very synchronistic. Mm. Wow. I feel like I should...
I feel like it's come
full I'm going to follow you guys now, because now my ego is involved.
Yeah.
They're very big in America. They've been on Ellen and everything.
Are you kidding me?
It's been pretty crazy.
Didn't you want to try sing him a bit of your song?
Hey, well, no, that wasn't in the script.
And also, this is Jake's part of the interview.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, thanks, mate. Come on. So basically, like, we're on tour at the moment, so after a show, you know, we like to unwind, chill out, have a little drink. How do you like to relax?
Well, you'll see when you have kids. When we were shooting The Judge, I would shoot a 12-hour day, and then I would go back, sit in a rocking chair, and my at the time 1-year-old would be put in my lap, and then I would try to put him to bed for 90 minutes because he's so crafty. He'd be like faking the twilight, and I'd start to put him in the thing and go,
that's amazing.
I still do that.
Yeah. True, he does.
I do. When we do like music videos and stuff, we like to take things from the set, basically steal them.
Jake stole that hat.
This hat. It's a silly hat off Pharrell's shoot. We like to take stuff back home to our family. Have you ever taken anything from your set where you just give it to your family?
Well, I don't know that I give it away. I'm sure I've given a lot of stuff away. Like,
have you stolen an Iron Man suit?
Have you got?
You know what? Those are that's a tough commodity. I have some helmets, but I can tell you this: on the last Avengers, there's this scene where there's an A that's probably 30 feet tall, and I'm looking at it, and we're shooting in England. I go, I need that in my office in Venice.
Amazing.
About 2 weeks ago, an 18-wheeler showed up. I'm like, what the heck is this doing here? They go, it's the AUS. Where I go, they brought it?
That's incredible.
So now we have a massive Avengers A that will be prominently displayed somewhere.
I guess when it gets to that level in Hollywood, if you just say something off the cuff, then one day eventually it will arrive.
Yeah, we just get a bill from the label. It's like, yeah, that's
you know, but try saying this at one point. Said, this is a really nice kind of stadium we just played. I think it should be named after us.
Yeah. Amazing. I think Wembley should be called Rixton Stadium. Yeah. Never played it. Don't know why I said it. We got matching tattoos when we got our first number one, which was incredible for us. So is there a way you celebrate when a new film comes out?
Let's see. You know what you do? I'm sure, as you guys know, you know, show business is a lot more business than show. So what I'll do is I'll follow closely how the weekend's going. You'll show up, you'll do more press, you'll talk to, you know, the label, the studio, whatever it is. And I take joy in that. It's like that old saying of Oscar Wilde's, what is it, you know, something about work and...
I love that you're looking at Scott here.
Yeah. So if you have a job you love, you'll never have to work a day in your life?
Let's go with that.
Yeah, that famous Oscar Wilde.
Stephen Fry said it last night, and clearly I'm not Stephen Fry. I'm imagining I'm just going to quote something he said.
Any more questions?
I have... Oh, well, I could be here for hours, but obviously we've got... So my dad is a fella called Shane Ritchie. He's a bit like... He's an actor from the UK.
Okay.
Do you like his work? Are you...
He's easily one of the greats.
Thank you.
There you go, Dad. That's for you. I love you.
Yeah, oh, my God. He's going to love that.
And would you ever consider being in EastEnders?
He's in EastEnders, this guy.
Which is a soap.
First of all, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
I hate to say it, but because he shares Guy's surname, that's probably what put him on my radar. That's kind of an important show.
Yeah, really?
Isn't it? It's a big deal.
It's a big show.
It's well written and...
Yeah.
Great.
So that's Shane Ritchie, my uncle Lionel.
Yes. Is Lionel Ritchie your uncle? Come on.
Hello. Hello? No. Okay.
Did you know that?
No.
Jake's
hello. Obviously it's not my uncle.
Clearly not.
Okay. Right, okay.
Anyway.
Dancing on the ceiling.
Jake's mum's a bit of a loose woman.
Yeah, that's my mum.
So we're just wondering if you like loose women.
Loose women.
That's another show on British TV.
Oh. Okay.
We should say that actually, shouldn't we? Should. So Loose Women is like The View. See The View as more of a fine wine. Loose Women's like a Lambrini cheap kind of version.
Is your mum.
Yeah. But, you know, as Louis said, do you like Loose Women? That's...
Historically, I've had no issue with Loose Women. you know, then you age up a little bit. And, you know, it's interesting to have both folks in the industry. I had that same... That same thing. It's kind of like you feel like you want to follow in the footsteps. It's like you never thought of anything else, you know?
Yeah.
Listen, guys, our time is up with Robert Downey Jr., but have you enjoyed it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I've just got to say as well, I'm a huge fan of the film Charlie Bartlett. That's one of my favourite films growing up.
Thank you.
And a bit of knowledge for you, Drake was in that film.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Are you telling Robert Downey Jr. that?
No, I'm telling you.
Right. Sorry.
Sometimes I need to be reminded.
Yeah. That's one of my favourite films growing up, so I'd like
to
thank you.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, listen, guys, thank you very much. I mean, this has been a bit of a surreal experience for all of us, I think.
Yeah,
but I've enjoyed it. So thank you very much, Robert Downey Jr.
Thank you for your time.
And thank you, Rixton. You don't go anywhere. You stay here.
We'll see.
You're free to go. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The Scott Mills
Daily. It's 8:39. Sam Smith also in there, Like I Can. It's the Radio 1 Breakfast Show with Scott Mills in for Grimmie this week and next week, except New Year's Day. It's Christmas Eve. There's two more sleeps. I'm going to play Two Become One by the Spice Girls next. Can you hear how excited I am about that? I am. I'm liking all the people appearing in Panto for Christmas.
Yeah, we've not really talked about this yet, have we?
You've got Dan Osborne from Towie and Jack and the Beanstalk in Liverpool. Mostly shirtless. But then when isn't he?
Good point.
Have you ever seen him with clothes on?
No, even when he came to do Innuendo Bingo, he insisted he took his shirt off, didn't he?
Do you think that's get boring for him at any point? Oh, go on, mate, take your shirt off again. All right, then. Like, one day he's like, maybe I'll leave it on. He looks good, though, doesn't he?
You know.
He does. If I look like that, I wouldn't leave the house. Strictly's Craig Revel Horwood in Peter Pan in Dartford.
Really?
He's grown this ridiculous goatee beard for it, which he's been obviously having on Strictly as well, so you would have seen it on Strictly. Looks like someone's actually drawn it on with a Sharpie.
I saw that. I thought that was just him doing a sort of stylish beard.
No, that's for Panto.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I did tell him how ridiculous he looked. Thank you, darling. Duncan James from Blue in Jack and the Beanstalk in Birmingham. Birmingham.
I wonder what he's playing.
Probably Jack. Anthony Costa from Blue in Aladdin in Portsmouth. Gareth Gates in Snow White in Croydon. What's he playing there? Oh, here he is. Dr. Carl Kennedy, still on. Alan Fletcher in Robin Hood in Dunstable. And one that I've seen with my own eyes, David Hasselhoff in Peter Pan in Southend. Also starring my absolute favourite, Christopher Biggins. Hoff is reprising his role as Hoff the Hook. He's the baddie, and Christopher Biggins is obviously the dame. Some splendid outfits, including a life-size cupcake at one point. I love Biggins so much. There is also in that panto in Southend a really long version of 12 Days of Christmas, and involves Biggins going, five shots of rum! And then pouring himself five shots of rum each time.
Really? And what? And
12
there
times.
And then?
Yeah.
Blimey.
Yeah. So that's a good one. What else is happening today? As I said earlier, it's mostly stars and their cats at home in front of log fires on Insta and Twitter now.
There are a few celebrities who are signing off on Twitter as well.
I like that.
So they'll write a little message. It's like an out of office from the celebrity world. But I guarantee they'll be back on at some point. It's worth keeping an eye on those.
Professor Green has been making really nice looking Yorkshire puddings, like rappers do. His girlfriend Millie McIntosh has bought a bag of stinky cheese, and in between that is going to the gym a lot. It's either lifting weights or food with her. As we mentioned earlier, Dougie and Ellie McBusted and Golding seem to be in some kind of magical winter Christmas cabin. We've narrowed it down, everyone. This shows you how long it takes to find people and where they are now with social media. I said earlier, oh, that looks like a really nice place. People saw them out together at the German Christmas market in Edinburgh yesterday, and we've now pinpointed that this place that looks amazing on their Twitter and Instagram is a hotel room in Edinburgh. Fern's in bed with a cat. So is Taylor Swift. Ashton Irwin's home to see his dog for Christmas. And Caroline Flack has been excelling since her Strictly win at Rapido. You don't know what that is.
Yeah, what is that?
It's basically just plasticine.
So what's she doing? Just
being good at it. Yeah, it's like a game you can play with your friends. It's a good Christmas game.
The Scott Mills Daily.
One Direction, Night Changes on BBC Radio 1. They are saying that they've not bought any Christmas presents for each other since 2011. Just too disorganised.
It seems incredibly cheap of them. Because at the very least, they could send someone to go do it.
Yeah, get your PA to do it.
Mm.
Liam, do you remember when we spoke to Liam a couple of months back? He did admit that mostly his PA does everything, including buying Christmas presents.
But doesn't his family insist that he doesn't use the PA?
Yeah, for them. For his friends, it's fine. For them, not fine. However, if you did want to get anything from One Direction, have you ever seen how much stuff, how much merchandise is available?
Oh, there must be loads.
There's more than loads. Like, you'd expect
lunch boxes.
Yeah, you'd expect like merch, like T-shirts, key rings, lunch boxes. Can I just go through a list with you? This will become a memory game, so...
Also, concentrate.
Concentrate, because I will be asking you what you can get as a One Direction fan in about 2 minutes. Ready?
Do I win the lot, then? Anything I remember?
If you remember it, I'll buy it for you.
Right, yeah. Cool.
A lot of it's quite cheap. But this is actually ridiculous. Okay. You ready?
I'm ready.
This is what you can get. 1D extra wide Christmas gift wrap. 1D Christmas bauble. 1D battery powered toothbrush. 1D makeup and beauty collection. Dog tags. Perfume. Our moment. 1D body lotion. 1D autobiography. 1D mascara set. Eyeshadow set. Sticker book. Calendar. What makes you beautiful? Two piece pajama set. Live concert DVD. Hat and scarf set. 1D sneakers. 1D reversible duvet set. 1D folding inline scooter. Adjustable inline skates. Light up skipping rope. Liam, logo necklace. Louis, logo necklace. Niall, logo necklace. Zane, logo necklace, etc. One Direction, 54-inch curtains.
Wow.
Sleeping bag. 1D future Mrs. Malik t-shirt. Phone case.
I can't keep up anymore.
Monopoly. Bobble hat. Vertical lunchbox. Hot water bottle. 1D fibre optic lamp.
What?
Key ring. Stationery set. Earrings. Tattoo and nail set. Skinny t-shirt. Bomber jacket. High top trainer. Pink sequin boots. 1D ballet shoes. And 1D boyfriend rotary duvet set, so you can turn it round and decide which one you want at
mean?
The top of your bed that day. Well, you turn the duvet round, and then it's kind of like the same size, so if you want Liam to be your boyfriend that day, he's nearest to you on when you're sleeping.
Right, OK.
OK, you ready?
Okay.
And what did I mention there? What can you get? You ready?
Yep. You got your dog tags, you got a lamp, a fibre optic lamp.
Yep.
You got your future missus for all four of them.
Yep.
You got your earmuffs. Were the earmuffs on?
No, that wasn't one.
It's hard because there was a lot that you were saying there. Reversible duvet set.
Yes.
Toilet seat cover.
That wasn't on.
No. Stationery.
Yes.
Why is this so hard? Pajamas.
Yes.
Curtains.
Yes.
Yes.
Good one.
You've got your 1D makeup. There was some makeup
mm-hmm.
in there.
Mm-hmm.
There was an electric toothbrush.
Yes, there was.
Was there a skipping rope at one
Correct.
Point? I'm struggling here. There was some trainers.
Yes.
There was a DVD of a concert. I'm sure there were some other shoes. Ballet shoes.
Yes.
I think
you're out, aren't you? Well done, though. You win all that.
The One Direction fibre optic light, though. Really?
The Scott Mills Daily.
Think how much money they make just from merchandise. I reckon that's most of their money and stadium gigs.
You need to get involved. There should be little toy crabs and crab at this festive time. You really haven't thought about it, have you? In fact, I should have thought of this for you. We could have been millionaires.
On the back of the Strictly thing?
Yeah.
Would have been brilliant. Uncle Fester board caps.
Just imagine all the family around Christmas Day, big meal.
With the crab claws on.
Claws on.
That was Jessie Ware, new track, You and I Forever, previous Radio 1 track of the day. Now, I don't know if you heard this about a week ago. I want to play it for you again if you haven't, or if you just want to enjoy it again. We found this singing teacher on YouTube called Felicia. She lives in Philadelphia, and she has a very strange way, but effective, of teaching people online. She does like kind of how-to videos of how to sing like your favourite pop star. She's done a brilliant one, how to sing like Sia and Chandelier, which we played a few times. But last week, she taught us how to sing a Christmas classic, and this is how it went. I'm very excited to say that I now have a live link up to that singing teacher. Hello, Felicia.
Hello, Scott.
This is so exciting. Where are you right now?
Right now I'm in my kitchen in Pennsylvania, Wayne, Pennsylvania.
Well, thank you very much for coming on today. And we've been in touch on email, and Felicia has agreed to, even though I don't think she's ever heard this song, agreed to help us sing like the Pogues and Kirsty MacColl.
Wow. Surely you've heard this song before, Felicia.
I've heard it. Yeah, I've heard it like once.
It's not a big song in America.
No, it's more of a novelty. Like everyone's like, oh, that vulgar Irish one. That's what people say.
So we sent you the lyrics and also, obviously, a copy of the song, Fairy Tale of New York, and you're going to help us sing it today to make us feel even more festive.
Exactly, yeah. It's going to be exactly in the style of Shane McGowan and Kirsty MacColl.
Felicia, I will now hand over to you so you can teach Chris how to do this amazing festive song.
So the first rule of singing like Shane McGowan, because when you start the song, Shane comes in, right? And it's super low. And you also want to make sure you're very nasal. So the first thing I want you to do is try to just sound like you have a blocked nose, like that.
Right. So your tip as a singing teacher is
sound like you've got a cold. Sound like you've got a cold.
Exactly, yeah. Right. And try not to warm up, too, for this song. Like,
okay.
Just
right.
Be completely raw.
To be honest, he's never warmed up. But, okay, let's have a go.
So I'm trying to sound like I've got a cold.
Yeah, that's good, I think.
More snotty.
That's perfect. Like, just complete, like an NG sort of in your nose, like that. Like, he closes off all his words. You'll see when you, you'll hear, I guess. Yeah.
I'm cold.
So, the lyric is, it was Christmas Eve, babe, in the drunk tank.
It was Christmas Eve, babe, in the drunk tank.
But we're going to say, it was Christmas Eve, Bip. Enda drunk tank.
Okay.
So it's like, I was Christmas Eve, bip. And the drunk tank. Exactly.
Right. Fine.
Okay.
And here we go.
Here we go.
It was Christmas Eve, bip. And in the drunk tank.
No. Not nasal enough, is it?
You could dig a little bit more into the nose. Just hook right into the nose.
Dung it, dig into the nose.
It was Christmas Eve, bed, the drunk tank.
Oh, that is fabulous.
Great.
Okay. Should we move on?
The next line is, an old man said to me, won't see another one. So we're going to say, an old man said to me, on saying other one.
An old man said to me, won't see another one.
And what's next?
Okay, then the lyric is, and then he sang a song, the rare old Mountain Dew. And we're going to say, Undena sang a song, the rare oh, mutton, tjo. And you want to do a vocal fry on this? So
what?
That means you've had a vocal fry is almost, it sounds like your chords are crackling together on a very low frequency. So it's going to be.
Vocal fry.
And then, wait, would you know the key? Sorry, can you give me the key one more time?
La.
Hang on. Okay.
Oh, yeah, that really helps. It really helps, Chris.
Okay. And then you sang a song.
I get your vocal fry.
Let's hear it.
Key, please, Mills.
As if you need to know the key. Shut up.
And then he sang. And then he sang a song. The rare mutton tio.
That was perfect.
Thank you.
Okay, now we've mastered a bit of the verse. Let's hit the chorus.
Okay, so that's instead of the boys of the NYPD choir, we're going to say de ba zadi enwa pide kwa. De ba zadi enwa pide kwa.
Kwa.
Kwa. Kwa.
Da boys da endi pide kwa.
And sing.
Da boy di enwa pide kwa.
De
Bazidi. Oh, sorry.
De Bazidi and Wapidi Qua. What's
singing? Yeah. De Bazidi and Wapidi Qua. What's singing? Go away.
Yeah, yes.
Yes,
because the chorus, it's like I can feel the energy kind of like coming into your voice.
Me too.
It's really good.
I'm getting excited Me now, too. Felicia. I'm not going to lie.
He might have a vocal fry in a minute.
Yeah, it comes in
I'm
when
sure.
It's ready.
Could we go to the argument bit of the song now, please, which is my favourite, I think.
How's this going to work?
I don't know.
You're a bum, you're a punk.
You're an old slut and chocolate and they're almost dead on a trip in that boat.
You scumbag, you maggot, cheap, cheap, lousy faggot. Happy Christmas, you're outside, my God, it's out.
Okay, what do we do here, Felicia?
So it's, you scumbag, you maggot, you cheap, lousy, and then it's really similar with the modifications. You scumbag, you maggot. So you don't have to close off on the T. Uh-huh. And then you say too cheap, lousy,
You scumbag, you maggot. Too cheap, lousy,
Yeah.
Cheap, lousy,
Too cheap.
Too cheap, lousy,
Last line, we're going to do Hape, Krisma, Siras, Opera, Gadatsa, Lost.
Hape, Krisma, Siras, Ape, Gadatsa, Lost.
Amazing.
Amazing. Felicia, thank you so much for being part of this beautiful Christmas experiment today.
It was amazing.
It kind of
had fun.
It worked having a live singing lesson. I mean, up until now, we've just used your YouTube videos, but I think we should do this again.
I totally agree. I'm totally up for it. It's really fun.
Well, have an amazing Christmas.
You too.
And what we'll do now is we'll play the song, but we'll add in bits of what Chris has learned.
So do you want me to sing back or am I just listening?
Well, I think I'll stop the song in bits and then get you to do it, if that's okay.
Great.
And then
Sounds good.
Do the same with Chris. Thanks, Felicia.
This is so fun. You guys are the best.
Thank you.
That was Christmas Eve, babe. And the drunk sang.
Chris. An old man sent to me on seeing another one.
The Scott Mills Daily.
And now, real or no real, morning, Steph.
Morning, Scott.
You're right.
How are you? Yes, are you?
I'm all right, thanks.
God. Hi, Chris.
Yeah. What? Now, why are you talking like that?
Well, that's her actual voice.
Oh, sorry. No, I meant like
what?
Well, you sounded like a little bit like you were distracted or doing something else at the same time.
Hi, Scott. How are you?
You sound a little bit like how I talk to my mum. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, everybody has a mum voice.
Okay, I think we've got on to a bad start here, Chris.
No, I mean it's friendly.
Yeah, do you want to try it again?
Okay, let's pretend that didn't happen. Good morning, Steph.
Morning, Scott.
You're
morning,
right?
Chris.
Hey, Steph.
I'm good, thank you.
Stop it.
Stop mocking me.
You ready for Christmas?
No. I leave it all to the last minute. I'm genuinely considering ripping off Dial a Carol and just phoning up my friends and giving them a song.
Good idea.
See, this is what's going to happen tomorrow, Christmas Eve. I'm going to be trudging around the shops right after the show with Chris. I do it because I'm a good friend, but he does this every year. He's got nothing yet, like absolutely nothing. And we will be going to the shops. He'll get really stressed and hot. Then he'll have to leave. Then I'll have to go back in and get the presents for him. It happens every year.
Oh, such a good friend.
So, Steph, we're about to play Real or No Real. Are you ready?
I am ready.
These are some of the best ones of the year. Some great facts, which we can never remember if they're real or not. So let's do it. See if you can guess.
If Liam Payne had had his way, One Direction would have been called Unique Selling Point.
Right, OK.
I don't remember this one from earlier in the year.
No,
I don't either.
Mills, you're a One Direction expert, really, aren't you?
Thanks.
You're in the movie. You always end up interviewing them.
I am in the movie, yes.
Who came up with the name One Direction? Because they weren't originally, if I remember right, when they auditioned for X Factor, they were all separate singers, right? And they got put together
by Nicole Scherzinger.
So she probably named them, right?
I think so.
They must have had a proper brainstorming session when they first formed. I would love to have heard some of the names, but I that sounds too whiffy to be a real name. So I'm going to say no real.
I'm going to say no real as well.
That one is real.
Whoa.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So the band were all asked for ideas on what they should be called, and Liam insisted that Unique Selling Point was a great name. No, Liam, no. And next,
ITV's The Cube has its own supply of fly spray because the creatures keep getting stuck inside the glass box, distracting the contestants.
I don't remember any of these.
I was just about to say that.
No, I don't. Well, how would they even get in there in the first place? Because surely it's shut until the person goes in it.
True, but this kind of thing does happen, doesn't it?
Like all TV sets, I imagine when you see it in real life, The Cube is really disappointing.
Do you reckon?
I reckon it'll be old, bit dusty, bits falling off it. It's the magic of TV.
Is it?
Yeah. I tell you, one of the, and I think I can say this, one of the rankest bits of set I've ever seen in real life, which looks great on TV. Where the judges sit at Strictly.
Really?
Oh, it's a proper manky old desk. Looks fine on TV, though.
Did you ever go into the set, you know, when it was closed, like late at night or anything like that, just because you could and sort of, I don't know, get up to stuff?
No.
No?
What kind of stuff?
Well, you know, just because you could.
No, I didn't. They're very strict to you, they let in.
Right.
Only allowed during, you know, show hours. So do the Cube have their own fly spray?
Oh, it must be a problem in there. Because it just happens, isn't it? Flies get into place. I love the idea. Because you never see them on TV. But it must happen. So I'm gonna go real on this one, Mills.
I'm going to say no real.
That one is no real.
Yeah, we made it up. Steph, you were correct to go no real. Well done.
Thank you.
Next.
In today's money, the Titanic cost about $150 million to build. The cost of making the film Titanic was $200 million.
I remember this
one. Yeah,
but I don't remember if it was real or no real. This is so frustrating. I mean, the idea that the one for the movie would cost more, I can't work out, because they didn't actually build a full-on boat.
No, they built all the rooms individually, didn't they, like, rather than on a boat.
But we're saying the film Titanic is more expensive than the actual boat.
The whole film.
Okay.
As in, like, everything to do with the film.
Yeah, like DiCaprio's wage and everything.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
But the Titanic boat was, like, the biggest, best thing of the time, wasn't it?
Do we mean just to build the boat, or do we mean to build the boat and make it go, all the staff and everything on it, or just to build the boat?
I think we're just saying real or no real at this point.
Okay, I'm going to...
Okay.
the film Titanic...
I think it was real, I think.
I think real as well.
That one... is real.
Yes, correct. Both of you, if you adjust the cost of both using the retail price index, turns out the film costs more than the actual boat. Ridiculous. And finally...
David Attenborough is older than ice cubes.
These are great, these ones. This can't be real. Ice cubes are frozen water. That's all it is. We're saying then he's older than the Ice Age.
We're not.
This is no real.
It can't be real. It has to be no real.
So this is our guest. What an honour it was to meet him as well from yesterday, Sir David Attenborough.
Scott, come on. Ice cubes have been about forever. Like, they've been around...
Yeah, but, like, not the ice cubes you put in drinks. I mean, like, ice cubes that you can make.
Rather than the ice cube tray.
I think that's what I'm saying.
No, but surely they had ice cubes, like, back in, like... I don't know, Western times or whatever.
Caveman times.
Yeah. Well, maybe not caveman. Cavemen, I don't know about the tray then, but...
The cavemen did not have an ice cube tray. Real or no real, David Attenborough is older than ice cubes.
This is ridiculous. No real.
No real.
That one is real.
It's not, though.
It is. Okay, so the ice cube tray was invented in 1933. Sir David Attenborough, born 1926. Before that, ice was just lumps.
So you're saying it was the shape of the cube. It was the fact that ice was shaped.
The tray.
Okay, yeah. Right.
So he is older than ice cubes.
Technicality.
And at the end of that round of real or no real...
I've lost again. 10. I got 10. Steph got 20.
It's not the best week for you. Well done, Steph.
Thank you.
Are you off to work today?
I'm at work now.
What are you doing?
HR in Nottingham Police.
Oh, have you just done your uni degree, right?
Yeah, finished on September 1st.
How's the police?
Yeah, it's good. It has its ups and downs, I'm not going to lie.
Can't really say, it's rubbish, the police. You can't say that.
No, not on air, no. Yeah.
All right, have a good day and a great Christmas.
Thank you, you too.
Love you, bye.
Love you, bye. BBC Radio 1. The Scott
Mills Daily. We're back tomorrow from 6:30. It's Christmas Eve, and we'll be joined by Ollie Murs.